What's that you've got on? Magrat looks down at the stained chainmail, the mud-encrusted breastplate, and a few damp remnants of white silk that hung over them like a ragged tabard.
Looks good to me, said Granny. Nanny'll do your hair.
Magrat reached up instinctively, removed the winged helmet, and patted her hair. Bits of twigs and fragments of heather had twisted themselves in it with comb-breaking complexity. It never looked good for 5 minutes together at the best of times. Now it was a bird's nest.
I think I'll leave it, she said.
Granny nodded approvingly.
That's the way of it, she said. It's not what you've got that matters. It's how you've got it. Well, we're just about ready, then.
Nanny leaned towards her and whispered,
What? Oh, yes. Where's the groom?
He's a bit muzzy. Not sure what happened, said Magrat.
Perfectly normal, said Nanny, after a stag night.
There were difficulties to overcome.
We need a best man.
Ooh,
well, at least put some clothes on.
Mrs. Scorbick, the cook, folded her huge pink arms.
Can't be done, she said firmly.
I thought perhaps just some salad and quiche and some light, Magrat said imploringly.
The cook's whiskery chin stuck out firmly.
Them elves turned the whole kitchen upside down, she said. It's gonna take me days to get it straight. Anyway, everyone knows raw vegetables are bad for you, and I can't be having with them eggy pies.
Magrat looked beseechingly at Nanny Ogg. Granny Weatherwax had wandered off into the gardens, where she was getting a tendency to stick her nose in flowers right out of her system.
Nothing to do with me, said Nanny. It's not my kitchen, dear.
No, it's mine. I've been cook here for years, said Mrs. Scorbick, and I know how things should be done, and I'm not going to be ordered around in me own kitchen by some chit of a girl.
Magrat sagged. Nanny tapped her on the shoulder.
You might need this at this point, she said, and handed Magrat the winged helmet.
The king's been very happy with, Mrs. Scorbick began.
There was a click. She looked down the length of a crossbow and met Magrat's steady gaze.
Go ahead, said the Queen of Lancre softly. Bake my quiche.
Verence sat in his nightshirt with his head in his hands. He could remember hardly anything about the night except a feeling of coldness, and no one seemed very inclined to tell him. There was a faint creak as the door opened. He looked up.
"Glad to see you're up and about already," said Granny Weatherwax. "I've come to help you dress."
"I've looked in the guard-robe," said Verence. "The elves, was it? They ransacked the place. There's nothing I can wear."
Granny looked around the room. Then she went to a low chest and opened it. There was a faint tinkling of bells and a flash of red and yellow.
"I thought you'd never threw 'em away," she said. "And you ain't put on any weight, so they'll still fit. On with the motley. Magrat'll appreciate it."
"Oh, no," said Verence. "I'm very firm about this. I'm king now. It'd be demeaning for Magrat to marry a fool. I've got a position to maintain for the sake of the kingdom. Besides, there is such a thing as pride."
Granny stared at him for so long that he shifted uncomfortably.
"Well, there is," he said.
Granny nodded and walked towards the doorway.
"Why are you leaving?" said Verence nervously.
"I ain't leaving," said Granny quietly. I'm just shutting the door."
And then there was the incident with the crown. Ceremonies and protocols of the Kingdom of Lancre was eventually found after a hurried search of Verence's bedroom. It was very clear about the procedure. The new queen was crowned by the king as part of the ceremony. It wasn't technically difficult for any king who knew which end of a queen was which even the most inbred king figured out in two goes. But it seemed to Ponder Stibbons that the ritual wobbled a bit at this point. It seemed, in fact, that just as he was about to lower the crown on the bride's head, he glanced across the hall to where the skinny old witch was standing, and nearly everyone else did too, including the bride. The old witch nodded very slightly. Magrat was crowned. Whack-a-fall, diddle-diddle, etc. The bride and groom stood side by side, shaking hands with the long line of guests in that dazed fashion normal at this point in the ceremony.
"I'm sure you'll be very happy."
"Thank you."
"Ook."
"Thank you."
"Nail it to the counter, Lord Ferguson, and damn the cheesemongers."
"Thank you."
"Can I kiss the bride?"
It dawned on Verence that he was being addressed by fresh air.